heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor. Honor.
Our soul. Soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
Of a nation.
Of a nation.
Of a nation.
And now, Malcolm.
Lots to talk about here today, and I want to start with this Ohio sheriff, Sheriff Richard Jones. And he has called out a lot of the strong socialist liberals, if you would, or the Hollywood liberals, however you want to call it, who are kind of in their face with President Donald Trump, you know, sort of thing. And so he puts a post out there on his Facebook account. Surprising, Facebook didn't take it down, because I have to tell you, they're taking everything down these days that they don't like. I mean, and it's happening. I mean, it's happened to me, so it's probably happened to you as well. And I'm talking on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, all of the social media. Very strategic in nature what they're trying to pull off. And this is really a whole nother story, but the tech giants are certainly putting their hands on the scale here. So in this particular case, he put a post out that said it's that time of election year again. And he said celebrities threatening to leave the United States if the president is reelected. This happened in 2016, and it's believed not one celebrity left then, and it appears the same threats are being made this election year. I had to chuckle when I seen that, because you know, you've seen that out there where they just get out there and they just start espousing these comments out there that, you know, it's ludicrous. They're not going to do it. I mean, come on, people. They live in the greatest nation on the planet. So where the hell are they going? You know, to another planet? Now, maybe when Elon Musk gets that Mars rover set up and they can fly out there, maybe that'll happen to another planet. But other than that, there's not a lot of other places you can go in this world that is as great and superior as the United States of America. And I think you would agree with me on that. So the statement on this post with Sheriff Jones, he says, I'd like to extend an invitation to put money towards a one-way ticket for any celebrity that would like to leave the country this time around if President Trump is reelected. Hell, I'll even help them pack, he says. I had to chuckle at that point. And, you know, they are being very vocal right now, a lot of the Hollywood celebs. But, you know, listen, let's put it this way here. They were not effective in 2015 and 2016 with that campaign with Hillary Clinton. And you know, they were very vocal and out in front of that one. And the entire establishment was. And they were not successful then. And I have news to report to you today. They will not be successful in 2020 either, because I will make a bold prediction to you based on all the evidence we see out there right now. It appears very clearly on the backside of this thing that a lot of people are not really paying attention to. And I'll prove it today to you on the program. So I like the fact that Sheriff Richard Jones is going to buy tickets to everybody that's ready to fly out of here. That's pretty cool. To the point here, which we'll talk about a little more today, but in early September, by the way, he issued a warning, the same sheriff here, to people who abuse police. In that shoot at police, expect us to shoot back, he says. So this is where, you know, you've got the law enforcement community pushing back a little bit. And you need to have this happen, because you can't have the kind of unrest that's happening in our cities. And this part of the conversation is clearly being overshadowed right now in the election as well. And we need to bring more of this out and remind the American people what's really taking place here, okay, in our cities. And it really is all of these blue-run cities, these Marxist mayors and governors. And, you know, and it really kills me. And we're going to talk about today with Michael Johns, in fact, on the economy a little bit after here. But it kills me because the same people who are screaming on the mountaintops about the economy or yelling or trying to put that on President Trump, because they know full well that is the only way, successful way, it is one of the biggest ways you can pull an incumbent president down, is to trash the economy. And that's why all your blue cities and blue states have stayed locked down, to the demise of all those citizens. You're seeing, you know, more and more of those reports of these people leaving those markets. There's an exodus happening, people, in California, in New York, and in Illinois, which we referenced that on the weekend on Viewpoint, in fact. You know, what we said is if you take the balance of the country, the 47 states, and you do the math there, you'll have a better sense of where we are headed as a populace, as a people in the United States, you see. You kind of can't always filter in these crazy areas of California, New York, and Illinois because they're so far gone socialist that it almost has become a different, you know, kind of feeling, a different kind of country in those states, which is kind of weird to say, you know. I don't know. It's like the United States of America. But what really unites us? That's a whole conversation we need to be having, isn't it now? You know, there is so much wrong with how Biden and Harris are running this campaign. And, you know, again, I've been saying to you right along how strategic the Biden campaign is, how they are being, what they're doing right now. And I'm going to tell you right out right now. And I'm going to give credit where it's due. I think the Biden campaign has really run a pretty brilliant campaign. Now, you would say back to me, what the hell are you talking about? But I really believe that. I think they deserve some sort of an award, whatever kind of an award you give those people, you know. But they have run a very good campaign, pretty brilliant, actually. And the fact that Joe is still in the race, the fact that they've been able to hide him successfully. Now, they could not have done this without the help of our media. Now, you got to remember when President Trump calls out, and he did this some time ago, and he referenced the media in our country as the enemy of the people. A lot of people looked around, were aghast at that. Like, why would a president say such a thing? It is a little out there, people. But you know what? You have to support what the president said there because they have indeed become the enemy of the people. And I don't enjoy saying that. That does not give me the warm and fuzzy by any stretch. I don't like it at all. But they really, in essence, have become the enemy of the people. Just in the clear case of this campaign, just look at the two interviews that were done with 60 Minutes. It's a pure case. Look at the one they did with Biden and look at the one they did with Trump and then talk to me and tell me. But there's so many cases of this, it's not even worth taking your time to fill you in. If you don't know that already, you're not paying attention. So no sense for me to belittle the conversation or tell you things you already know, right? But listen, this they have been very successful in keeping Biden put away. They are not out there. I mean, just on the basis of the American people seeing the momentum over the next week as we move forward to this amazing election, that itself should be a wake-up call and a rude awakening for the rest of the people to understand what this race is all about. You know, who do you want in the White House exactly? People, it's not even a contest. I mean, you know that. So the fact that Joe is still there and they're able to hide this and camouflage it all because of the media, again, because they don't have a good candidate. They obviously know that. That's not my opinion. It's just a fact, although it would also be my opinion. But it is a fact based on facts. And let's stay on facts. I'll give you another fact right now. Joe Biden doesn't know who the hell he's running against. How's that for a fact? That's right. So he comes out and he again misspeaks on Sunday, or he, you know, the obvious becomes more obvious to all of us. And this, again, would have been a front page story had President Trump done this or referred to Joe as some other president from back yonder somewhere. By golly, the media would have been all over this thing. It would have been the front story. President Trump doesn't know who he's running against in 2020. I mean, it would have been the headlines. I mean, you know that. I mean, come on. And so he comes out. You see this, I'm sure. And Biden's, he forgets. He says, 4 more years of George. And, you know, right at that moment, he couldn't, now here's a perfect case for you. Now, this is conclusive. This is evidence. This is a fact, people. Listen to me. If you had any doubt, and I'm not sure any of you do have any doubt, but if you did, or if you have a friend who has any doubt, they just have to watch and listen or read this, these comments here from Joe Biden that happened on Sunday. I mean, and when he was processing the what was happening is if you see him do this, his brain was processing. He couldn't grab who he was running against. He totally lost it. He didn't know. I mean, it's a fact. And it's sad, people. This is not something I celebrate. This is not something I like. I think dementia and Alzheimer's is a horrible thing for anybody. I pray every day that our country comes up with an answer to this. I really do. I've done it all the way back as a young man when it hit Ronald Reagan. It floored me as an American who loved our country and loved that president at number 40. It absolutely floored me. And but he had it, at, you know, it, as his in years he should have been celebrating his life. And here Ronald Reagan had lost it at the very end after he left the White House. I mean, it was tough. And you're seeing the same thing. This is before Joe Biden would even get into the White House. And I will tell you, he would be, even at this point, even if he had all his faculties and he was like perfect, you know, he would be the oldest president we have never, ever elected a man or anybody that as old as Joe Biden would be. He's 78 years old. I mean, we've never elected somebody that old to the White House. It's never happened in the history of our nation. So why would we do it now? And why would we do it with somebody who clearly cannot put thoughts together? So here's the quote, and I quote, four more years of George. And again, his brain is moving quick. George, he says it another time, George, gonna find ourselves in a position where if, and then his brain kicks in, a Trump gets elected, we're going to be in a different world. That was the quote. That's exactly the quote from Biden. Okay. So this is why they're preserving the candidate. This is why they have him locked up. This is why they don't have him out. This is why he's not doing interviews. This is why he doesn't have press conferences. This is why he's not meeting people. This has nothing to do with COVID. COVID is just the handy dandy virus from China that they can blame everything on. Including, oh, the economy, Mr. President. Yeah, the economy that all of our blue states and blue cities and that Democrats by large across the country have kept the country locked down to create more pain. It's the same reason why Nancy Pelosi won't pass the stimulus relief bill to help American citizens out, to people that are hurting right now. I mean, those are your reasons right there. You don't need anything more, people. No matter what else he's doing, I mean, just on that basis, it's a clear choice, you see? Wow. And so there it is. He's not able to keep it together. So they know this, and they're doing their damnedest. So what they're doing, the reason he takes 5 days to prepare for a debate is so they can drill everything into him the best that they can. And, you know, the reason President Trump had asked that he and Biden should take drug tests is because he feels like they are giving him something, some sort of medication somewhere to do whatever it can do. And I don't know what that medication is. I have no idea. And I don't know, but they refused immediately, the Biden campaign, to take anything. Now, why is that, I wonder? I mean, if they were all out there and honest and open with all of us, why would they do that, people? Right? Why would they refuse that? Why? They should have just said, yeah, we'll take it. We'll take a lie detector test with it as well. I mean, what do they have to hide at this point? What do they have to hide, you see? Well, again, when you see, again, the statements he makes on fracking in the last few days, there's another thing we'll talk about today. It is very clear he either is straight out bold-faced liar, which he is, because if you look historically at this, his background and in his career as a Washington politician, he has lied many times over his political career. Joe Biden, I'm speaking of, you see. But it's either that or he probably legitimately forgets what he said, because when he came out of the debate and he said those words, which I'll prove to you in just a bit here, he said, you know, I never said that, he said to Trump. And a national audience, by the way, a major national audience who was watching that debate, he said, well, I never said that. He said, put that on your website. I mean, clearly, now at that point, I'm going to suggest to you, he clearly forgot right then, because there's lying and then there's forgetting. There are two different things, you understand? There are times he lies and there are times he forgets. At that time, he forgot that he has all on record about fracking, because you don't tell the guy to put it on your website when he has the audio and the video feeds of everything you've said, not once, not twice, but multiple times. You don't say that. So he forgot that he said that. I'm certain that's what it is, because he knew he would go up on the website and all of that. But there are other times where he's lying. So you see, in Biden's world, it's a combination of lying. Now, what percent? Maybe it's a third of the time lying and three quarters of the time forgetful. Or maybe it's 50-50. I don't know which it is. Maybe it's 50% lying, 50% forgetting. But that's really should be Biden's campaign, not Build Back Better. It should be we lie or we forget the truth. That should be their campaign slogan that we should put out there for them. You see, that's clearly what it is. So, and of course, President Trump followed up and he put a tweet out. Joe Biden called me George yesterday. Couldn't remember my name. Got some help from the anchor to help get him through the interview. The fake news cartel is working overtime to cover it up. I like that, the fake news cartel. Maybe that's what we ought to be using, the cartel, the fake news cartel. That adds another spin to it, doesn't it? Maybe that's the way we brand that thing. I don't know, but it's time to get beyond the fake news now and really talk about it, who they are or what they're doing. So at this point here, listen, President Trump is out there every day doing multiple events, multiple campaigns. Where's Biden? Well, he's in Wilmington, somewhere in his basement, I guess they say. I don't really know, but he clearly stays very close to Delaware there. Well, let me discuss over the next couple of weeks what our plans here are on The Voice of a Nation and America Out Loud. So our plans are to, we feel and we sense the urgency of the moment. I know you do out there as well. And we are all in here to pull out, not only to get you the right information and put it in the right context of what you need when it comes to all the arguments, the debates and the conversations. We will be on top of it. I have an extraordinary guest over the next couple of weeks. Now, Michael Johns will be joining me throughout the next couple of weeks on the program and really helping us push this out there. He knows. He's very concerned, Michael is, and you hear us on Viewpoint on the weekends talk about it, and Viewpoint presents our program I do with Michael at 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. And he is very concerned for our country. He's out here putting it all out there every day. So he'll be on here with Malcolm, with me here. We'll be driving this message out there. We ask you to get involved now with us. Help us push this out there so that people hear the urgency of the message. And the timing on all this is very, very critical. We'll drive this all out there, not only on talk radio, 6 and 10, every day, you'll catch us here on The Voice of a Nation on America Out Loud Talk Radio, but they will also be driven to podcast very quickly, so you can drive them out there and push this message out to our fellow citizens out there and people across our great nation. So let's do this. We'll take a quick pause. We'll come back. And on the other side of this pause, you're going to hear the voice of Jared Kushner. Very interesting piece. So let me set that up now for you. You'll hear this. Here's a very interesting interview he had. Listen to what he says, and then we'll break that apart with Michael Johns just after the pause. More Voice of a Nation.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutLoud.com.
What if a new treatment, backed by 17,000 scientific articles, was proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance? What would you pay for even the smallest dose of this treatment? Well, the good news is you don't have to pay anything, because these are just some of the benefits of a full night of quality sleep. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Until now, most sleep aids haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM Sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthycell.com/sleep.
Thank you. So look, again, you know, I speak to all my state directors. We have our big data modeling. I do believe that, you know, polling with phones to people is an obsolete method, especially in the era of cancel culture. You've got a lot of, you know, snake oil salesmen who are kind of been in the business for a long time, and they do this. They were all completely wrong last time, and they didn't make any modifications going forward. And I think that what all my state directors are telling us is that they feel more confident about where they are now than where they were last time. And so we're seeing tremendous enthusiasm for President Trump. People like that, you know, he's the first outsider president. He's standing up against Washington. He's fighting for them. He's keeping their promises. We're seeing at the president's rallies right now, 20 to 30% of the people showing up didn't vote in 2016. And the grassroots operation we have is incredible. And so, you know, if you think about what we have now, over 2.5 million volunteers, over 2,000 staff, we're doing a ton of digital and television advertising with the right messages to the right universes. So we have a highly sophisticated campaign. It's probably one of the biggest campaigns ever built in history, and it's designed to help turn out the vote. But you can't have 2.5 million volunteers, people who are working very hard, if you don't have a candidate that they believe in. And quite frankly, there's no energy that we're seeing on the other side. There's no organization that we're seeing on the other side. And I do think our people in the states feel very confident that we're tracking better than we were in 2016 in a lot of the critical swing states. So again, we remain here cautiously optimistic. And again, like I say, you know, you don't do very well betting against Trump. And I think people have learned that over the last couple of years.
Well, I like what Jared Kushner says there. You know, people have not been successful betting against President Trump, and maybe this is not the time to do that. I thought that was a very interesting segment of Jared Kushner. He spoke about that on Fox and Friends. A very interesting message. But what I sensed from that was the optimism in his voice, but also the get out the vote. And also what he points out is the disorganization of the Biden campaign. And I want to talk about that next. We have here with us, joining us now on the program, Michael Johns. Michael is the national co-founder and leader of the Tea Party movement. He's a former White House speech writer and a policy analyst with the Heritage Foundation. Michael is my colleague and associate here on America Out Loud. And Michael, I thought it was a very interesting piece and setup from Jared Kushner for a lot of reasons. Now, when you look at the Biden campaign, and when he talks about Jared saying, we're not seeing any real organization there, we're not seeing any real get out the vote kind of thing. One thing the Biden campaign has had is a lot of money. They're flush with cash. And so they're running a lot of commercials, television commercials, and they're running them more than anything. That's what they're using is television. But as far as they get out the vote and a grassroots excitement, and, you know, with what Donald Trump has built and what Jared Kushner points out there, I think that's a major, major difference with these two campaigns that I hear nobody talking about. What's your take on Kushner's comments there in this whole ground game of what's happening?
Usually you hear campaign spokespersons on either side of a race like this, and they'll always speak with optimism. They'll always praise their operations and their voter contact and their, you know, general enthusiasm that they're sensing. But in the case of Jared's comments there, yeah, I think everything he said is not political rhetoric. Those are factual realities of what's transpiring across this country, and you can see it. And it's not even just the organized Trump events, but just the spontaneously organized ones that are emerging in states after states. This is a president who's really captured the enthusiasm in the American people. And I sort of had the sense watching him last weekend that it's almost like the American people are wanting to lift him up onto this next 4 years. It's a movement. If that makes sense, meaning Trump is expending all these energies. Earlier today, perfect example. He flies to my birth city, my hometown of Allentown, goes on and does a rally in Allentown, goes into central and a little central West Pennsylvania for two additional rallies. Now, where was Joe Biden today? We had 8 days till this election, not 80 days. This is 8 days. If he's not in Michigan, if he's not in Florida, if he's not in Pennsylvania, if he's not in Wisconsin, if he's not in Minnesota, he's not there because he doesn't care to interact with those voters. And as you correctly say, he doesn't want to answer any questions either. Got abundant numbers of contradictions in his policy positions. He surrounded himself with the most liberal member of the U.S. Senate as his running mate, who's an advocate of single-payer healthcare systems. He's an advocate of the Green New Deal, who's indistinguishable from the most radical elements in the House, and has expressed support and sympathy with Marxist-led street riots. I think, as we brought up on Viewpoint Presents on yesterday, that the forces that are motivating voters are even broader today than they were in 16, because it's not just a recognition of all that Trump has accomplished to date and all that he can accomplish in 4 years, which, you know, where he's kind of maybe even a little more free from the political constraints of first term. It's also these other developments that, and a conclusion really, as you pointed to in your opening there, that the Democrat Party seems to have come to a conclusion that the economic devastation and hurting American voters, you know, in all kinds of ways, by withholding stimulus, by allowing their streets to be destroyed, by closing up unnecessarily businesses and communities where the pandemic was not a risk, that somehow this is politically advantageous to them, that you create the sense of chaos, and that somehow the American people will
blame it on Trump,
project all that on Trump. And I think as we walked through yesterday, the pandemic is China's fault. I'm not sure that I think in these next 8 days, that's a very important message for this president to communicate, because people are exhausted by it. They've been affected by it economically, and some have been affected by it from a health standpoint. So, I mean, there's got to be no confusion on that. The Biden corruption, right, whatever the FBI is or isn't doing on it, it's almost not concerning to me, because no one is disputing the emails. No one's disputing the magnitude of the Chinese or Russian monies that have flown into the coffers of the Biden Incorporated family, and the dangers of it, and the Marxist street riots still very much in the minds of the American people. I think the frustration is, I think at first it maybe I saw a shift in the sentiment as it related to that. Meaning, I think like me, when you and I first talked about it, I told you, I said, look, these sentiments are very legitimate, and you know, if the goal is to reform law enforcement practices in the country, that's a laudable objective. But if it became very clear and almost pretty quickly that wasn't what it was about, and that this has been really about, again, adding to this sense of chaos.
Well, what I see what Biden has done is they've taken out a series of insurance policies. Now, you got to remember, it's not so far back that they don't forget what happened in 2016, 2015 and 2016. They certainly remember what happened in that 2016 campaign, Michael. And back when that race was in full throttle mode in 2015, they recall that they didn't have all those insurance policies in place. Of course, Hillary Clinton was a horrible candidate, but let's face it, this time around, they also know they have a horrible candidate. So now they have two runs in a row where they have the worst possible candidates they could have with the American people. In the meantime, you have this big fight in the Democrat Party that is literally tearing itself apart. I see the other day AOC comes out, says she probably won't support Nancy Pelosi for a speaker in the next time around. She's not radical enough for her. And that war is going to continue to build. So you have that part of it there. But the really thing that the American people need to look at with their eyes wide open is how they have made it their business, the Democrat Party, to push as much pain, Michael, and this is a serious point now, right, to push as much pain on the American people. And I have to say, your quote a moment ago is a perfect quote, which I'm going to use out there on social media, because I just wrote it down here, because it plays to this whole thing we're talking about. And you say, the American people want to lift President Trump up across the finish line. That is exactly accurate. And that's the momentum, what I was talking about, and what Jared Kushner puts out there with the momentum in that race. And that's why I confidently said in the opening remarks, Michael, and I've been very careful when to say that or not to say that. I don't want to seem like some espousing these extremist viewpoints and with President Trump, like he's going to win no matter what. You know, there were days I wasn't sure, Michael, quite frankly, in the past few months. But I'm very confident at this moment in time, he is going to take this race and he is going to win the White House. I believe it's going to happen. The problem is going to be the House and the Senate, Michael. That's what we got to be focused on.
From your lips to God's ears, as they say, right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I think so, though.
I really, I mean, the contrast is so significant. And the future is so, I'm so optimistic, I think, about what President Trump can accomplish in 4 years, regardless even of the congressional alignments. And I got to be honest, I'm so deeply concerned about the direction this country is going to take with a Biden who, as you correctly said, is not the Biden he used to be. He's not put together. He's going to be influenced by this radical left. He was asked, you know, in the last 48 hours, what his top priority was. He said, climate change. Okay, well, not saying, you know, you and I have talked about that. We both support clean air and water and whatnot. The problem is the climate change movement, like a lot of these far left movements, does very little. They sort of operate under the pretense of doing these good things, and then they do other things. And much of what they're doing has very little to do with actually improving that. It's singularly focused on decimating American industry, which means decimate American jobs, completely taking out the energy industry of this country. You know, so if you want $8-$9 gasoline prices, I think you can pretty much count on that.
And it's about them getting rich, Michael.
Oh, of course. The biggest
But that's important that people understand that, you know.
Oh yeah, these windmills. Yeah, a lot of this green technology that would be utilized in the United States is not being utilized in China, but it's being manufactured in China, which is very intriguing, isn't it? That they would have possession of these technologies, but would not. But they're still making new coal mines, and they're full steam ahead on fossil fuels. That is, you know, to them the easiest and most efficient means of fueling what they see is still a fast growing economy. And it does appear, frankly, you know, I talked months ago with you about the fact that the Chinese economy was beginning to hurt as a result of sanctions and whatnot. It does look like, you know, they've utilized this global pandemic, which they certainly appear to have been at least complicit in, if not more than that, to their economic advantage as well.
Yeah. You know, I want to a couple of things here. Let me tell listeners now. One of the things I want to turn the corner on, Michael, in a moment here, and I really want to talk about the economy and an interesting piece out of the New York Times. I want to set the tone and tell you about that. Before we go there on the economy, I want to talk about fracking a moment here, because I know you have some insight on this as well. We've talked about this. But before we do that, you've seen the president call out Biden and the comments on fracking that happened in a national audience in a debate. And I, you know, I said up front here, and I want to play an audio clip here, but listen, I said up front, it's either one of two things, Michael, and don't answer this now, but I want you to answer this after we hear the clip, okay, the audio clip. But there's one of two things that are happening here, Michael. He's either lying or he's forgetting. Now, I said to people, my guess is, you know, probably a third is lies and the rest of it is he's forgetting. Or it could be 50-50. I don't know which. But here's the thing. When he said to a national audience that, you know, listen, play the tape, put it on your website, I never said that. He obviously had to be forgetting, or he's a complete imbecile, because you wouldn't make such a declarative statement if you realize you had said these things numerous, numerous times, and they're all recorded. So let me play this here.
But if you want to kill the economy, get rid of your oil industry. You want... And what about fracking?
All right, let me allow Vice President Biden to respond.
I never said I oppose fracking.
You said it on tape.
I did. Show the tape. Put it on your website.
No more. No new fracking.
We are going to get rid of fossil fuels.
Well, like, what about, say, stopping fracking and stopping new pipe?
Would there be any place for fossil fuels, including coal and fracking, in a Biden administration?
No, we would work it out. We would make sure it's eliminated.
I guarantee you, we're going to end fossil fuel, and I am not going to cooperate.
No ability for the oil industry to continue to drill, period. Ends. Number one.
Three consecutive American presidents have enjoyed stints of explosive economic growth due to a boom in oil and natural gas production. As president, would you be willing to sacrifice some of that growth, even knowing potentially that it could displace thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of blue-collar workers, in the interest of transitioning to that greener economy?
The answer is yes. The answer is yes.
No more, no new fracking.
Never said I oppose fracking.
Is it he's forgetting or is he lying or a combination of the two?
He's lying. He's lying largely because he's been required to surround himself and to accommodate the radical left, which is the driving force of your party. I mean, to have a fairly junior member of Congress and AOC, mm-hmm. as you just mentioned, right. Essentially calling for the head of the Speaker of the House of Representatives, that's pretty indicative of the political realities that I think we have right now. Fracking is a very important and much safer means of energy and natural gas production than maybe historically, and for economies, for the economy of this country nationally, and particularly, you know, regionally, and in Pennsylvania and Ohio, particularly North Dakota, Arkansas, a few other states, you know, this is a huge employer of Americans. Yeah. The moderator there had said about transitioning jobs, but mm-hmm. this reflects, I think, a fundamental misrepresentation. This was something Bill Clinton talked about. It really never really happened, that you're going to take, you know, someone who's a, you know, a middle-aged or even older worker who spent their whole life mastering, you know, the technical components of this industry, and you're just going to move them into some other.
It makes no sense, apparently. Obviously.
And that the job is, no that some yeah. job is just sitting right. there down the street for them to take. It's unrealistic.
All right. If he's lying, if he is lying, as you just say, then does he think that the American people are morons? I mean, does he think they're ignorant? I mean, because he didn't just say it once. You heard that montage.
Yes, he
has said it. He really does. He thinks people
yes,
are that stupid.
He looks down. Wow. He and Obama both look down on the American people.
Wow.
And they look down on the very constituencies that they cultivated,
wow.
Including African-Americans who right. Supported them. These are arrogant, elitist, beasts of the swamp
yeah.
who look up to people like Xi Jinping and look down on, fracking workers in Pennsylvania and in Ohio as inconvenient, and they're in the way of their ideology.
What we've got here in a candidate then is we've got somebody who is lying, and somebody part of the time, and the other part of the time he's forgetting what he said. That's a lethal recipe, buddy.
Well, you know, I think we've talked about the fact that you mentioned he would be the oldest president, you know, I mean, 82 or 83 by the end of the first term,
right?
You know, he has not yet committed to even running for a second term. If he won, I think he's probably one of the first presidents I can ever remember that doing. And look, I come back to earlier today. I mean, this is 8 days from a major national election that, by most calculations, is a close election. Mm-hmm. I assume it's a close election. You could be a credible analyst and call this either way today, and nobody's going to yeah. laugh at your prediction. And this guy's in his basement. He's not out with the voters. And let yeah. me tell you, when he's in his basement 8 days before the election and he needs your help, wait till he doesn't need your help. You will never see this guy.
That's exactly it. We will never see this guy at all. Now, we're seeing something we've never seen before. I mean, absolutely never seen before. As Michael points out there, people, you've got a candidate really that is, I mean, he's just not available. If you think that's a problem now, what do you think it would be after after the fact that he would be in the White House. And you know what? I'll say to you, thank God we will never see that day, because I will tell you right now, Joe Biden is not going to get in the White House. It can't happen. And boy, I'll tell you what, I better not be eating those words, people. You better come out and make sure this man wins. So let's tell you what, we're going to take a pause and we'll talk about the economy next. There's a lot to discuss there as well. We'll be back with more Voice of the Nation just after this pause. My fellow Americans, our mission here at AmericaOutloud.com is clear. We're here to defend our founding values and principles at a moment when they are under unprecedented assault. And to cover the news objectively and offer intelligent commentary on the challenges we face as a nation. You can tune in and join our family of listeners 24/7 in this vital crusade. Our apps are on Apple, Android, or Alexa. Find us on iHeartRadio or our world-class media player. It is a fight for the soul of humanity. America Out Loud Talk Radio is the voice of liberty and justice for all.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
You know, there was a tweet that caught my attention that President Trump had put out early Monday morning, and it said this, Michael. It said, New York, California, Illinois, people are fleeing. Taxes and crime are going through the roof. Vote Trump. I will turn it around and fast. Now, these are three areas we have discussed multiple times on my programs. As far as it's kind of interesting, I look at the country as 47 states and then these three, because these three are so socialist and they've become so far removed from the American populace here. But a lot of this plays to the economy and what has taken place. And I know a lot of people who are not only suffering in those states, but they really there really is an exodus happening. It is so bad, the policies in those states, Michael, they are fleeing those states in ways we haven't seen before. So let's talk about the economy next. And there was an interesting piece. I get a newsletter in every morning. You probably get it as well, Michael, and maybe listeners do. We always got to know what the other side is talking about. So this comes from the New York Times, the one that President Trump would refer to as the fake news. But it's the morning newsletter. And this one here, this message today was by David Leonhardt. And it was, it's about looking at the good and bad of Trump's economy here. And there are multiple things they point out in this newsletter, Michael. And I want to talk about this here in the economy, because right away they say this, and I know you'll have a lot to say about this. So let me give you the first point and then we'll keep going. He says here, President Trump is not running a re-election campaign based mostly on policy. He has released no agenda for a second term. Now, you can't believe this is what the New York Times espouses out there to their readership. And the first point is the economy was strong before the virus hit. Trump inherited a very much a grown economy, and it kept growing on his watch. It accelerated just a little bit, Michael, not much, you know what I'm saying, in the first 2 years in office before slowing down again in 2019. What do you make of that point? Let's go.
That's ridiculous. This economy, when the president took the oath of office in January 17, was a wreck. They were the first administration in the history of this country to go 8 years without having 3% gross domestic product growth in even 1 year, the slowest economic recovery in decades. They left more people in a state of poverty than they found them, vastly increased Medicaid enrollment and food stamp enrollment, lowest home ownership in half a century. Even on the issues that they said they would resolve, like health insurance, as we've, I think, hopefully gotten through to the American people right now, Obamacare killed some really good private health insurance plans that people really liked, despite Biden and Obama's promises that they would not lose their insurance or their doctor. They lost their insurance, lost their doctor, and the plans that they were replaced with, the millions who went onto the new plans, found them wholly deficient. The deductibles, the premiums were so exhausted that it's really almost insincere to call them health insurance. They were like catastrophic plans. So the American people, on every, and the jobs that were created during the Obama administration, very low wage jobs. There was no growth in wages. I mean, zero. I'm not saying like it even kept pace with inflation. Because we talk about, and I've talked a lot about the 7.3 million jobs President Trump created in 3 years before the China virus arrived, which is an extraordinary number. And he had a whole bunch of metrics that were looking really positive, including the fact that wages were beginning to grow for the first time almost since the turn of the century. I mean, so when you look at the forgotten man and woman, which I kind of define as working men and women out there who may be living paycheck to paycheck, they're really hurting because, you know, the cost of housing is going up, cost of, you know, all of their necessities are going up, and their income has been stagnant until Trump. And how did Trump do it? Well, firstly, he cut the corporate rate, which is not a political talking point because people, it's a complicated economic issue, but we can't compete with the rest of the world when we have we're taxing companies 35%, which is what Obama and Biden, he took that down to 21%. And now, of course, under the Biden plan, he will again put our rates back up over China's, over a whole bunch of other competitors in the world, making us less competitive. And, you know, we're in a global economy. I mean, capital can flee around the world quickly, and companies don't have to put their operations in the United States. And, you know, if you're going to pay 28% or 21%, for a company, that's a big fiduciary decision, and they almost have an obligation to take the lower rate a lot of times.
I don't know if you've seen this with healthcare, but the end of the 60 Minutes, you see the press secretary came out, McEnany, and she put in Leslie Stahl's hand a massive healthcare plan, which I thought was hysterical.
And they diminished it.
Oh, yeah. And Leslie, oh, my God, that's heavy. That's heavy. And McEnany just
They said, it was executive orders and whatnot. But it's a very strategic plan. It's a very comprehensive plan. It's filled with a whole bunch of bright initiatives that Obama never got around. Obama really didn't, despite all the rhetoric in 2008, I think he could have recited the 38 million uninsured in your sleep by the time you were done listening to him. He killed off a lot of insured, and he added this really bad plan that, given the when Trump got rid of the mandate, they got off of. Now the position is like, look, we need to replace Obamacare with a plan that increases choice, reduces cost, and makes health insurance affordable and easily accessible to American voters. Obama and Biden did not do that. They like to cloak themselves in this issue, but they were bad for American healthcare, and they were horrible for providers too. And increase, as you may know, they took $500 million out of the Medicare Advantage plans. Those people were hurt. And health insurance innovation, health care innovation.
Well, I'm going to tell you now. I'm going to tell you something that the window is very short on health care. And I'll make another prediction to you right now that if the GOP does not get their program together, Michael, right after this election and begin to work on this, all bets are off because enough of the rhetoric and the talk. Now it's time to put the action where the words are and make it happen, because to take that big document they threw in Leslie Stahl's hands and let's bring it out, let's take a look at it now and let's bring it out to the American people and make a decision. Now, obviously, a lot of this is going to play to what the Supreme Court does with Obamacare just early here this next month. But that's not the end all and be all either. But that will play into the story. We'll talk more about this healthcare stuff later. Let me get back to this economy. Number two on this newsletter, Michael, perhaps the best news they say here. Wages were rising even for lower income workers. After more than a decade of economic growth, the labor market has become tight enough that employers were increasing pay more quickly than inflation was rising. The trend began under President Barack Obama and continued under Trump. So the NYT is trying to give all the credit to Obama here. And you say what, sir?
Well, it's ridiculous. I mentioned the growth. Fortunately, we have numbers and metrics, or this would just be political rhetoric. But like I said, you had 8 years, the first time in the history of this country, where this economy did not grow by 3%. The vast majority of jobs that were created under Obama were lower wage jobs. Starbucks type jobs grew astronomically, but good jobs, career type jobs, disappeared dramatically. And they that really impacted, college students coming out of college, and it impacted middle aged workers in a major way. It was a driving force behind Trump's reelection, was the fact that the American people do not agree with anything that Obama or Biden have had to say in this campaign season, which is one of the reasons we haven't seen a lot of these two guys. They, for all of their deficiencies, and by that, I mean, they really don't have a singular policy answer to any issue confronting this country, period, which is a big statement. I mean, they're not right on anything. They have very sophisticated polling and very sophisticated political operatives advising them, and they pretty much have been told, look, you are not advancing the ball when you're out there talking. People don't resonate with you personally, and they don't agree with what you're saying. So when that's the case, you get what you had earlier today, which is 8 days before an election, Joe Biden, watching ESPN at home, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Third point on this. I want to get all these in. There's just two more. The third one, and this is interesting. The third one, Michael says Trump deserves some credit. The fourth one is, but Trump also deserves some blame, just so you know the setup on those two. But the third one goes on. Trump deserves some credit. And so Josh Barrow of the New York Magazine argues that Trump's overall economic record is problematic, partly because his tax cuts were so skewed to the rich. I knew you would like this part, but also that Trump has got some big decisions right. Most important, he appointed a Federal Reserve Chairman, Jerome Powell, who focused on growth rather than wrongly thinking inflation was a threat and kept interest rates low. So they're given the Federal Reserve all the credit there and not the other. What do you say to that?
The Fed's got a big role in all this, and the Fed chairman was appointed by the president. And you had a whole bunch of differing ideologies out there, including, some in the regional Feds who did feel that there was inflationary pressure on the economy, and there really hasn't been. It's been, despite a lot of spending, which is usually associated with inflationary pressures, you haven't seen it for a bunch of reasons, including some of the sophisticated monetary instruments that are available to the Fed that weren't historically. And so growth is the issue. Jobs and growth continue to be the issue. I think they will be the issue for the next 4 years. And the agenda that Trump has of diminishing the regulatory and tax impact, both on individuals and those who employ individuals, is the only really singular proven methodology for doing that in a sustained way. I really don't hear, in Biden, any commitment to job creation. So, when Trump ran in 16, he talked about what he was going to get the GDP to. He talked about how many jobs he would create. He put numbers on it, which was a kind of benchmark through which he was judged, and fortunately did well against those benchmarks. You're not hearing any commitments. And when I hear the climate change is your biggest priority, okay.
Yeah, says a lot.
It says a lot about what's not your top priority. It means jobs aren't your top priority. It means illegal immigration is not your top priority. It means national security isn't your top priority. It means China is not your top priority. It means, race relations.
They're definitely disjointed with their
healthcare
priorities.
Healthcare is not your priority. Let me get
to number four here. But Trump also deserves some blame, including for the virus and the recession it caused. Trump's economic policy geared almost completely toward lifting growth in the short term, while largely ignoring long-term dangers. That's the point. What do you think?
Well, you've heard me say that I believe that the president has managed a very difficult, unknown virus in a generally successful and competent way. I think under other leadership, this virus could have been vastly more devastating. It's hung around a lot longer than anyone obviously has desired. But the point is, the speed with which they were on it. All right. So you have this virus. Nobody had sequenced it. Nobody really had any testing available for it, much less a vaccine. We had no exposure to it. But right away, the fact is, what you look for in competent leadership is, did they recognize, even when this was emerging in Wuhan, that there was a possibility of it impacting the rest of the world, including the United States? And President Trump did realize that. He wanted the CDC into Wuhan January 3rd. I think those guys were literally at the airport ready to take off when they were told by China that they couldn't come in. We were not afforded access to the virus, which would have given us a head start. The travel ban, which I think, you know, President really needs to emphasize, supported by Trump, opposed by Biden, he would have let infected individuals into this country. Yeah. How do you have any credibility on this issue when that was your position?
Don't.
And why? And where's the apology and retraction?
Yeah.
But in the way of saying, you know, it was right to put the travel ban in January 31, and I was wrong to call it.
Well,
to
they're not going to do
the
that.
President's motives in doing it.
If you think about the terms of a Donald Trump and you think in the terms of a Joe Biden, okay? And you're talking about the economy and the importance of the economy. Donald Trump is an action president. He takes great pride in the economy. Everybody knows that. Here's what I do see happen, no matter what happens with the virus afterward and what takes place. What I think is going to happen is, and we talk about the Federal Reserve, and the president has been all over them as well and given them hell when he felt they needed it and been very outspoken about all of it, which he is. But one thing you can rest assured the American people will know is this president will stand out and he will get it done. I mean, I believe that when it comes to action in this economy, there's nothing more prideful than the economy to this president being a businessman extraordinaire. And so rest assured, I believe he's going to take all the steps needed. I believe he will jump on it. As soon as the economy looks like it's turning any which way, I think you'll discover this president is going to be all on it, all hands on deck. Now, contrast and compare that for a moment to Joe Biden. What do you think is going to happen with the Democrat Party and the economy? You know, the misnomer out there, and the big misnomer is that the Democrat Party is for the middle class or the poor man, and it is for neither. It is for the rich. Again, like everything the Democrat Party does, they twist and turn, and the obvious is not so obvious. It's always the opposite of what they project. They are the king and queens of projectionism like nobody's business. And they do it with all their messaging, all their marketing. But they have gotten rich, all the elites, as they eat their fancy ice cream out of their double stainless steel, gorgeous room full refrigerators or whatever they do from Pelosi's house. And yet she doesn't get on and make it her business to get a relief and stimulus bill together for the American people. So when you look at the world of two economies and you understand the importance of the economy to our nation and to our people, there's only one administration who's going to be on top of this economy, I believe, like nobody's business. And it's going to be the Trump administration. So my bottom line on the economy is Trump is not going to let it go south. He's going to stay on top of it. And as soon as anything looks offline, I guarantee you, he's going to be all on it for the American people. I mean, any part of the economy, even gas prices. I don't care what it is. He's going to be on it. And he's going to do anything he can that's going to benefit the American people. And I am absolutely certain of what I say there. On the Biden side, you can't say any of that is true, people. None of it is true. They have never been for the working class. So let's just put it right out there right now. Bottom line on the economy, that's what I really think. And there's one president and one administration who's going to stand up tall for the American people. At the end of the day, my fellow Americans, when it matters most, this president has delivered for the common man, for you and I. They have delivered. He will continue to deliver. I absolutely believe that in every part of my being. There is no doubt in my mind, and everybody out there knows it. So that's the message as we now rev up here. We'll be all on the issues in the days and the weeks ahead. We will be on it. Michael Jones will be joining me throughout the next couple of weeks. We'll have all kinds of people on the programs. A lot happening here. I mean, again, all our oars need to be in the water. You as well. We need to be all pushing forward here, not just to the 3rd of November, but just after that as well. We're going to need full support because we have to be ready for whatever is going to happen next. And knowing the other side, God only knows what that will be. Let's be prepared as we move forward here. Thank you again, my fellow Americans, for being with me on the journey here. It's time to get involved and get loud.